it's not extreme to be an absolutist. It's on principles and policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
And Barry, it's good not to be the host. Speaking as the non-host. No, I'm kidding. Thank you for being the host. You do a wonderful job of leading the program, and I always enjoy being with you here on the air.
Well, I kind of feel like it's like pigeons. You open the cage and you let it fly and then you see what comes back. That's kind of what we do here on this program. Well, but you know what? It tends to work because most of our pigeons are good homing pigeons based upon good, sound, biblical, and constitutional principles. And so they usually come back and land right about where we want them to.
I hope you haven't heard the story about the World War II pigeon they just found in a chimney
in France behind somebody's fireplace. Yes.
Yeah.
I did see that. That had a note that they have now unencrypted. That
well,
was basically
somebody...
troop positionings during, what, the Battle of the Bulge?
No, during the invasion.
Normandy invasion. That's right. That's right.
If you've ever watched The Longest Day, there's a scene where they ask the beachmaster if they can use his radio to put out a dispatch to these journalists, and he tells them they're nuts, and they said, well, we're going to have to resort to the old method, and they release all the homing pigeons.
Yep.
and they flew the wrong direction, and they're both cursing the pigeons, saying, dirty traitors, you're going the wrong way. So now we know where at least one of those ended up. In somebody's tempting.
Well, you know, when you let fly with certain things, you've got to be careful because sometimes, especially since we're referencing pigeons, you might get something all over you.
Yeah, that's right.
And an MSNBC news reporter at your television spot, and I'll have to admit, Chuck, I have never, ever, ever, never, ever watched this particular supposed news reporter on MSNBC. Well, mainly because I've never, ever, ever, let me repeat, ever, never spent more than a millisecond watching MSNBC with the channel clicker before moving on to something more intellectually stimulating, like maybe Duck Dynasty.
Well,
but this gentleman goes by a single name, Chuck. It's so stylish. Touré. So Touré, who obviously they allow airtime on, opined forth, basically said that anybody who defended the constitutional guarantee of the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, which says that the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. I'm only giving you the second half of it, but we'll talk about it in full here in a minute. He blasted them for constitutional absolutism and basically poo-pooed the idea that government is plotting to take away our guns, calling that a pack of blatant lies. Well, Charles, I know this program is airing on Wednesday evening. We're taping it on Tuesday night. It's airing on Wednesday evening here on the program. Earlier on Wednesday afternoon, President Obama made a sweeping pronouncement about the administration, what they're going to do about the gun issue. Now, we'll be reporting on that in detail and specifics on Thursday's program, obviously. And we don't have a crystal ball, but honestly, we can tell you that most likely they are going to be doing a lot of things because after blasting, and I use that term not in the sense of a gun blast, but after blasting those who defend the Second Amendment as saying what it means and meaning what it says, he then basically says they're not going to take away your guns, but oh, here's the things they should do, which basically amounts to, Chuck, guess what?
Taking away your guns.
So,
well, as for being a constitutional absolutist, guilty as charged. Throw the book at me, Your Honor. Just make sure it's a copy of the Constitution, because especially one of the pocket ones, because then I'll have another copy. But the fact is that he's correct. And in fact, everybody should be a constitutional absolutist. In other words, that is the document that governs how the United States of America, its federal government, operates and how its state governments interact with one another. If we're not going to be absolute on that particular document, what should we be absolute on besides, of course, the Bible?
Oh, wait a minute. How about the party platforms? Oh, no, I forgot. No, those are optional as well.
That's right. Apparently, every law is optional. Now, Mr. Touré, I really hate these guys that take on these single names, and it's this cool thing. I've never been much on people who considered themselves cool.
That's the reason why you and I get along so well together.
Yeah, it's been my experience that people that consider themselves as cool are anything but.
Exactly.
But in any case, Mr. Touré basically does not see the irony of his own suggestion insofar as being un-absolutist on the Constitution means anything goes. And that means, for instance, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments are no longer should be taken absolutely. Now, if you suggested this to him, I'm sure that he would come unglued.
Absolutely.
Right before your eyes. He would go into a shivering fit for obvious reasons. I mean, let's face it, those, especially the 13th, were designed to bring an end to an institution that we are still bleeding from the wounds of. And actually, that was predicted by the founding fathers as well, but they couldn't fix the problem at the time and admitted as much. They wanted to fix it and they couldn't. And that problem was slavery. Now, Mr. Touré, this list is funny, Barry. He gives a list of things that he wants to, recommendations that he wants to see to quote unquote reduce gun violence, none of which would actually do so.
Well, it's interesting, Jeff, because, you know, one of the first things, I'll quote him, because this comes from a report from Mediaite, which was linked on an article by Joel McDermott from American Vision News, and we'll have that link up on our website. But Mr. Touré is quoted as saying, quote, "We want to envision ourselves as a nation of vigilantes." And we'll talk about how he's seeding the ground there in a minute. "As a nation of vigilantes protecting ourselves with our guns. But that's not what's happening. We're an overarmed nation helping gun makers get richer." Ah, there's the 1%. "By believing blatant lies that the government is plotting to take away our guns." And I guess they've stopped. They're starting to take them away. Again, I go back to quote, "and believing the myth that we're protecting and not endangering ourselves." And he says that one of the things that they ought to do, his recommendation is the expansion of reporting on who has guns. In other words, it's snitch on your neighbor.
Exactly. Do the 1984 thing and make sure that you turn in someone who has said, or if you've ever watched the movie To Have and Have Not, where they're walking in from the boat and somebody says something about Vichy and this man follows them to their hotel and says, "I heard you make a disparaging remark about Vichy. What are your names and where do you live?" That's exactly what the kind of society that Touré would like to create.
Interesting. Vichy, Touré, it sounds all French to me, and you and I have had some good jokes about the French and their posture of surrender when it comes to gunning.
That's right. Well, as you know, I have a real quick segue. I've had that discussion online with someone from France who was making fun of Camp American, and I signed off with a little insult where I said, "P.S., I recently turned down the offer to buy a French surplus army rifle. The ad said it had never been fired and only thrown down once, and I found the latter claim difficult to believe, so I passed on the offer."
Exactly.
And that fellow didn't like that too much.
Well, of course. So Touré here has listed a number of things. It says, well, no, this isn't plotting to take away your gun. Here's what government should do. Ban assault weapons. Well, which is taking away somebody's guns. Because the definition of assault weapon is going to be so broad that it can include everything, including your potato gun that you had when you were a kid.
Yeah, exactly. So, assault weapon has no meaning.
But we can't have vigilantes, Chuck, walking around with assault weapons. You know, that just wouldn't do. You know, soon it'd be like the Wild West again, and when somebody walked down the street, somebody would pull out an AK-47 and shoot them. But that seems to be the liberal fantasy. I think they grew up watching too many old, bad Italian spaghetti westerns.
Well, Jesse Jackson actually said today, now get this, Barry, I heard this, I couldn't believe it. Jesse Jackson made the statement that assault weapons had to be banned because they were a threat to national security. Someone could go to the airport and sit outside the fence and shoot down airliners as they took off.
Okay, Charles, first of all, it was Jesse Jackson. And so anything coming out of his mouth would be unbelievable, except for the fact that I have to wonder if some of these wild speculations aren't pre-prepared.
Oh, of course they are.
The ground on certain of these issues.
They're talking points.
Think about that. They're talking points. So they want to basically, Touré, though, our good friend from MSNBC, has decided that he believes that they should modernize gun tracing. Now, we talk about RFID chip implants in your pets and in human beings, and everybody talks about the mark of the beast and things of that nature. But this is basically putting a GPS tracer in every gun that's being manufactured. So, free of all the guns. And then report who has those guns, similar to what newspaper up in New York State did when they published the names and addresses of everybody who had a registered firearm in their community.
Well, you know what's interesting about that, Barry? The New York legislation just passed outlawed reporting the names and addresses of people who own guns.
So I guess Mr. Touré is kind of out of sync with even some of his own liberal counterparts in New York State who've decided they can't quite go that far.
Well, apparently he and Andrew Cuomo didn't have a sit-down before he came out with his list.
Well, given Touré's stunning intellectual capacity here, I'm sure that Cuomo probably wasn't looking at him as a close advisor on this.
Well, okay, what's the point of having a national registry of all gun owners' personal info if some journalist isn't going to sue to get it so he can publish it? And we've already seen what it brings in New Jersey where this happened. People are now targeting homes that are listed as homeowners, and they're targeting gun safes.
Right, exactly. They're breaking into people's houses, so you're increasing crime by doing that, and you're exposing law-abiding citizens to more criminal behavior. It's irresponsible, and I'm sure somebody is going to come up with, or some personal injury attorney is going to come up with some nifty claims against the newspapers for publishing that information. At least I would hope to see that sometime.
Yeah.
But
the one I like, Barry, though, is this one. Study gun deaths. Okay. Now, McDermott puts in his article, and in parentheses, this means federal funding for leftist academics and bureaucrats, and then propaganda based on their quote-unquote findings. That's exactly what it means, Barry. It means put the most severe spin on gun deaths. Let's be factual here. 60% of gun deaths are suicides.
Are self-inflicted, that's right. Or accidental shootings where someone is transporting a firearm or cleaning a firearm and it happens to have a round in the chamber and they don't realize it and it goes off accidentally.
That's a separate set of statistics.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's an accidental death, not a the self-inflicted purposeful, in other words, suicides, is okay. Like 57%, and accidental deaths is something like 13.
Right.
So you add those up, 70% of gun deaths are either accidental or self-inflicted. That leaves 30. Now, of that 30, the vast majority of the 30 remaining,
yeah,
are either domestic violence, someone who gets drunk, and this is not a middle class thing mostly, it is poorer neighborhoods. I don't want to put it in those terms, but these are the facts. And things like robberies, and which are actually very small. Very few people are killed in robberies. It's not very big at all.
So what we're saying is, of that 11,000 annual shootings that Piers Morgan tried to float out there against Larry Pratt the other day, really only about 30% or 3,000, and then when you start slicing it down, you're really looking at a hand.
Well, 11,000 was high by about 3,000.
Yes, so, okay, so 8,000 and 30% of that's only 2,400. So,
yeah,
we keep paring it down because there is much more to it than what the liberal spinmeisters want to put on it.
And these massacres that everybody's so worried about, do you know what percentage of gun deaths these have been over the last 10 years?
Probably about 4%.
Two-tenths.
Two-tenths of a percent.
I'm pretty sure. Now, I'm going to have to double-check that stat, but I'm pretty sure it was 0.2% of all the deaths.
Well, I'm also sure, Chuck, that if we're wrong on that, one of our listeners will gracefully and graciously let us know via our website.
Well, you think about how few the number actually is. Okay, we just very sadly lost 28 people, and we lost, 12 in Colorado in 1 year, so you've got 30. 30 out of 8,000. Well, add it up. It's tiny.
Yes, it is.
So that doesn't mean we don't want it to stop and that we're defending the fact that people were killed. That's not the point here. The point is that, look, in a society this big, somebody's going to go nuts and do something. If he can get a hold of a gun, he's going to use it. If he can, he's going to drive his car into a crowd of people. He's going to get out a knife and slash people. He's going to poison people. This reliance on statistics to pass laws, especially over the fact that the laws that are being passed are not based on anything rational. Nothing that's being proposed here will do anything at all to stop a madman from getting a gun and killing people. You would have to confiscate them all, and he would still find a way to get one. He'd break into a National Guard armory or, you know, some place where they're kept, and he'd get one if he really, really wanted one. Now, guess what, Barry? I just looked at the clock.
And we are out of time.
We're out of time. So join us again tomorrow for Principles and Policies. You know, we had talking about interposition, which we didn't do, but we're sort of laying the groundwork for that. So keep listening. We'll get to it. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.